Savior. We're celebrating on this Palm Sunday the entrance of Jesus into the city, Jerusalem, as the people lay down their cloaks and their palm leaves to honor the King of Kings. You know, I read it over and over, and it talks about how Jesus rode through on a donkey. I mean, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're celebrating him, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But that donkey represents the humility in which Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem. Soldiers of war, as they paraded in, they might have thrown cloaks down for them, but they rode in with majesty on probably beautiful white horses and all of the glam that goes with it. But Jesus chose to ride into Jerusalem. And when he came in the scriptures, it says that he was crying. Tears were falling down from his face because he was crying over Jerusalem. He wanted the truth to come forth to the people. Yet he also knew that just days later that he would be facing a terrible crucifixion on the cross. So we have our example of our Lord and Savior to walk in this life with a humble spirit. If you have a humble spirit, it doesn't mean that you're weak. You know, people get that mixed up. It means you can be strong, but you're going to humble yourselves to include other people, prefer them in love, prefer them in life, prefer them, in the marketplace, you know, in the grocery store, or when we're driving, you know, we don't want any other stuff going on. We're going to prefer them. Let them go and have that fast lane if they want it. But you know what I'm talking about. It does not mean weakness. My definition is that if you want to put aside your own self and your own personality, then you're ready to serve others on earth. And that's, of course, what I do. That's what you do. We are here to serve others, but it does not mean we're going to let people walk on us, but we're going to have that humility. Amen? And then I started thinking about the cross that Jesus was going to face, the agony and the suffering that was yet to come in these days. And this is why Palm Sunday is so wonderful and awesome to celebrate and to remember and remind ourselves of what Jesus, he set that example for us. As we have waved the palm leaves, we are blessing Jesus Christ and give him glory and honor and your feeling that is due him. It's all due to him that we get this fabulous life that we live in. You say, well, my life is not fabulous. You can make it fabulous. You can turn it around. It's your decision. It's a quality decision. I always love what I heard years and years ago from a pastor's wife. She said, it's a quality decision, and you get to choose how you're going to live. I've made my quality decision. I'm going to serve the Lord until my last breath. I'm going to lead more and more people to Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a good time in life. I'm going to get rest. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to go to the mountains, whatever. But I'm going to give Jesus the glory and the honor that is due him. Okay, on number one, as we have honored Jesus on this day, it will influence our evangelism. Pray for God's anointing and gifts to be manifest, to appear, and to change lives in those that we meet. Isaiah 62:3 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of the nations, and they will come to light. And I thank you, Father, that we are going to manifest the anointing and the gifts. That's where we come in. This is what we're supposed to do on earth, you know. Jesus gave it to us. We have the same power. We have the same anointing. And he says, I'm going to give even more. I'll give you even more. There's no limit to it. You're the only one that can put a limit on it. So I personally am tapping in more and more that the gifts and the anointings will manifest in my life to bless others. We truly have a fresh revelation of God's righteousness and peace in our lives. Isaiah 60:17, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. instead of wood, bronze, and instead of stones, iron. I will also make you officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. I want to read my translation on that one. Which one is it? 60:17. I will exchange your bronze for gold, your iron for silver, your wood for bronze, your stones for iron. I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. That's just another translation. I enjoyed that. So let the peace of God lead you in every situation that you face in life. You may not have the peace all the time. I lost my peace a little bit this week, not a lot. Hey, I'm human just like you are. So, you know, it happens. But don't stay there. Let's go ahead and say we have the declaration of peace over our lives. Amen. Number two, this is a time of harvest and increase. Kimberly, I think you need to turn that down. It's getting a little too cool in here now. This is a time of harvest and increase in the church. What does Isaiah 60:22 say? A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Here's my translation. The smallest family will become a thousand people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Okay, Melinda Fish, she used to come and say, y'all, she's from Texas, y'all, I'm telling you, we've got a weeny little church. It's teeny, a weeny, but God is moving. Now, I know that we have been a little smaller in number, but we're continually praying for the increase. Why are we doing this? And how can it be? There it is. The smallest family will become a thousand people. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's for His glory. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. I say we're already a mighty nation. We just need to have the right time, and the Lord will make it happen. Amen? So it's time for great healing and deliverance in our city. I'm going to read this one, 61:1. I don't have that one. Yeah, I don't have that one. Go ahead. 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's the definition of us. That's the definition that we live by. That's the definition that we're going to continue to go forth, even with the homeless mission, or in a neighborhood, or in a challenge in a neighborhood. How many are challenged with neighbors? I'm going to raise both hands. I'll take a foot up, too. Challenged by it, you know. And we have this one man, he's always blowing the shofar at 5 o'clock. So finally, after all these years, I got up nerve. He was out putting his trash cans out, you know. Hey, Bo, I just want to ask you, are you Jewish? No, I'm not Jewish. My wife, she's a Jew, but I'm Baptist. Okay, I just wonder why you're blowing the shofar. Well, I like the sound of it. And then, so I did read in some scripture, you know, you kind of blow the horn, it kind of brings some blessing over the area. I said, oh, well, that's really interesting too, yeah. Well, I'm enjoying it. Oh, you are? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I don't know why he's doing it, but he's doing it. He's making a proclamation of some kind. But I'm going to take that proclamation when he blows that horn like, oh, that's for me. That means as I go around, we've done it, David, I've done it all these years, the 14 years we've been not only on the circle where we are, but also up and down the street, about 20 houses on either side. We just go with some anointing oil in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, walking and talking with the Lord. We just anoint the mailboxes because we want change. We want people to know Jesus. We want them to be filled with the love of the Father as never before. Again, not just my desire to do that. It is your desire. We declare over Raleigh and surrounding cities to be restored by the gospel, a restoration of truth that has been lost. And you know it. You've seen it. You have it around you. That's 61 and verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities. the desolation of many generations. So we're always rebuilding broken walls, but we do it in the spirit. You know, maybe you've been on one of those, what is it, the Habitat for Humanity, and you actually build houses on the mission and so forth. I've done some of that. Maybe you have too. But rebuilding walls in the spirit for people, and we have to get into prayer. You have to forget about yourself. You pray for yourself. Now you say, I'm going to forget about myself. I'm going to put that to the side, and I'm going to focus on other people because I want this Palm Sunday to remind me that Jesus, the mighty Savior and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came into that city. Yes, they honored him and they praised him, but I want to praise him right in my little spot of America. Amen. For the restoration of truth that has been lost. Number three, we the people of the living God are in a time of, I love this, double honor. It's a, let's see, a double honor for us. Number three, and for the church. 61:7. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. And that's mine. That's yours. So what are you going to take? You're going to take it. Yeah, my translation says, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. However, may come with some persecution. What are you going to do with that persecution? Do this. You're going to dust it off. You're not going to have anything to do with it. You're not going to dishonor yourself by getting into a tantrum. You're just going to say, I'm going to break this off of me. I'm going to go on in God, and I'm going to go on in life. Yeah, rejoice in the persecution because it's a light affliction. Look at me with my light affliction. I mean, I'm like, really? Really? At 10:30 on a Saturday night, I've had some things happen. But, you know, that's what made me, I'm like, now I'm really mad. Now I'm really going to tell the devil off because he's just trying to stop me up and shut me up, and it's not going to happen. Amen. This does not come without sacrifice and walking in humility to pray for many, many people to receive salvation. How many times do you think we've said it in our church? You know, pray for the people, pray for salvation. Pray for the people, pray. We're going to continually say it. We have to gather as many as we can. You can reach somebody, Pastor Tim, that I can't reach. Mabel, you can reach somebody. I can speak into their lives. But God says, no, it's you. I choose you because you're going to have an influence on them, and they're going to befriend you. You're going to connect some way in, you know, like car dealership, Ronnie. It's a platform that we each have in life. It's called a bema. A bema is like a little step up, and it's a platform that he's given you, Ronnie. It's a platform he's given you, Ron Wilson, and it's a platform that he gives all of us, Ralph and Becky and others. You know, ours are different, but we all come together under the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number four, we are called, all of us. Say all of us. We're all called to be intercessors, to step up to the plate. I want you to step up to the plate. Go ahead. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day and night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. My translation says, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all of you who pray to the Lord. I would love it at some point if we get so red hot for God that we start having some all-night prayer meetings. I know that who did that is Mahesh Chavda. Anybody heard of Mahesh Chavda? In Charlotte, they did it for years and years and years, every Friday night. And they were praying. They weren't talking. They weren't having conversations with their neighbor about what they were going to plant in their garden. Or They were focused on this one thing, to pray for the souls and more souls to be won to the kingdom. And I would be thrilled. I'm ready. Anybody want to meet me here? I'm ready to pray. Number five, thousands are searching for the truth. The real truth is your feeling about Jesus. Do not give place to those who have unbelief. Pray for their eyes to be opened to Jesus. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You're going to be sought out by people a lot of times just to say, hey, you know, maybe you have the answer. I know this happens with Pastor Diane on the job all the time. They want her to say the prayer over the surgeries. They want her to pray in the morning to set the atmosphere. Boy, we sure had good luck today, didn't we? She says, that wasn't luck. That was the prayers. And I said, well, yeah, it was. You can set the stage of what is going to come forth in your neighborhood, in your job, with your children, with sons and daughters. And I've got news. I've spoke to the devil this week. Again, you're not going to have any of my kids. None of them are going to be back hanging out in Egypt. They're going to come on into the promised land with me. I will never give up until that happens. Hallelujah. And to pray for people's eyes to be open. The God of this age has blinded so many people. There's a veil, a black veil over their eyes. And we pray that that cover be removed. All of this has to be taken and activated in the spirit. So here in Jesus, soon to be on the cruel cross, with his palms, his hands outstretched to the world, the nail prints would pierce and scar the palms of his hands, although it is said that they drove the nails into his wrist because of the weight of his body to hold him there on the cross. You'll hear more about this next week, about the crucifixion, from Pastor Tim Pritchard. But I was just absolutely saturated with my thoughts and the spirit about Jesus. And he's got the palms of his hands. Now, we wave the palm leaves today, but here are your palms to him. It's the palm of your hand. You know, your hands are so important. And I pray for the young man, your cousin, that lost his arm, but he's still got one hand and one palm he can raise up. I thank the Lord. We're gonna be sending lots of faith to him. Amen. On your second page, the palm tree in the Bible has so many, many meanings. So many, many products and vitamins that come from the palm tree. So why do I want to mention this about the palm tree? All through the scriptures I read, it's about the palm trees. The palm trees were carved on the doors of the tabernacle. Palm trees were carved into this to exalt the Lord. They had other artifacts that were dipped in gold, and it had the palm frond, or either the palm leaves on them, or a palm tree. It's a fruitful tree. And we are compared to palm trees. Serving God will always result in fruitfulness in our lives. And I'll go on to say that palm trees, you know, they're not really that beautiful and grand looking. But the palm trees are amazing about how long they last. I read on that and it says, you know, palm tree can be planted and maybe last 40 to 50 years. Sometimes they'll last 200 years because they are built to stand, but they don't have a tap root. You know, have you ever read anything about the palm tree? They have roots that go out, but they don't have a main tap root to hold them in. But look at this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, upright, stately, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, and that's us. We will continue to grow and be majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Now, I'm just going to read a few things. I could go on and on with the palm and all of the uses of it. You know, palm trees, whether it's a date palm or a coconut palm, there's many others. It went on and on with all of the nutrition values in the palm tree. It promotes healthy hair, prevents hair loss, you know, if you're eating dates, are doing the coconut. It will ensure glowing skin. It gives ample nutrition, keeps the bones and brain healthy. It will regulate blood sugars, reducing the chance of diabetes. There was another thing it was a particular, if I can't find it, I'll read it to you later. It's called boron. It's a particular nutrition that's in the date palm, and it's very nutritious for your system. But also, thinking of the palm, now you're a palm tree right now, so you're thinking about all the fruitfulness for yourself. The trunk furnishes timber and provides roofing materials. The leaflets make baskets. The fibers are processed into packing materials. Seeds are ground up and used for stock feed. Then you have the heart of palm. Has anybody ever tasted a heart of palm? It goes in salads. You can find it in the can at the store. Very delicious. I like them a lot. The heart of the palm tree just goes on and on with the nutritional values. And we are compared to the palm trees. Amen? So Revelation 7:9. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. You know, I was asking the Lord, why the palm branches even in heaven? I guess just the glory and being called, you know, a fruitful palm tree, a fruitful tree here on earth. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you can give me some insight. Number 6, palm trees can bear up under strong winds as their root system allows them to bend with the wind and spring back up. Be flexible in your walk with God. Let him help you spring back upright through and after the storms of life. Anybody been bent over by a storm? You're just bent over. I've been bent over years ago, and then it affects your back. You know, you just feel it physically in your body. You feel it mentally and emotionally. You feel it spiritually. Lord, I just don't think I'm going to spring back from this. But I always did because of the faithfulness of the Lord. We've got to be flexible in our walk with the Lord. A lot of changes, a lot of rearranging. Not that I'm going to do that to you. Other people might. Other people have challenged me with things. But, you know, I'm flexible. I'm here to serve. I'm going to continue to serve. I am believing, and I'm making my statement again, after, you know, I do a lot on Wednesday nights, about my neighbors. They're going to come into the kingdom of God. I don't know if they're going to come here or not, but they're going to come into the kingdom of God and receive salvation. That's even more important than them going to church. I'd like for them to come to church. I'd like for them to thrive. I'd like for other people to say, I still want to set aside one day of the week where I come in to honor the Lord and gather myself together in praise and worship. And you have done that, and I thank you and commend you for that. But we're going to be flexible. Say, I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to spring back up. You know, the palm trees have made it through hurricanes and cyclones. They'll go in a clockwise. I've seen it, especially in New Orleans and Florida. They'll go in a clockwise. They will go in a counterclockwise. They will bend down. Doing, they come back up. Even in the strongest of winds, they will do that. It's just so amazing. So you take that, because I'm talking about you, how you're going to be flexible, and you're going to bend with the strongest wind and snap back up. Do palm trees fall over easily? No. Palm trees have that shallow, dense root system due to their growing in very porous soils, often sand. They don't grow the tap roots. Many have evolved to withstand cyclones. Number 7, palm trees teach humility and sincerity because they are steadfast. And that's your lesson about the palm tree today. You're going to operate and walk in humility with your brother and your sister. Remember, vertical is the cross. Up to heaven, that's easy. Horizontal, you know, just like Jesus was stretched out, we're going to have a horizontal relationship and a and a very good friendship and a very good spirit as we reach out to those around us. We have made quality decisions in our lives and are faithful and true to a kingdom lifestyle. It is so important to have a pattern to follow, and that's Jesus. Jesus was the perfect pattern to follow. Amen. And my last part of the message is this. Did I give you Isaiah 49:16? Is it up there, Isaiah 49:16? All right, let's just, there it is. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. That means the Lord's watching after that. He knows everything we're doing. You've got a doubt in your mind that he's not with you and for you. He says, look, I wrote on the palms of your hands, but I wrote it on my palm of my hand, your name. Your name is in the palm of Jesus Christ. Jesus opened his hands and the palms of his hands, and the nails were driven into his hands as he hung on the cross for all mankind. Hallelujah. I want to give this last testimony of Pat Gruitz, and this has to do with the cross. Pat Gruitz went through many, many things over the years. I don't know if you've heard of her. She served with her mother in a church in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan. And these are the days when Detroit, Michigan was thriving, you know, with the car industry and so forth. And God used them in a mighty way. They would have these times, I'm talking about all-night prayer meetings, where the people would just come. She'd have a simple word, but then the people would just come because they were so hungry for the presence of the Lord. And that's my desire, too. I know that's your desire as well. Went through many, many storms in life till she said she didn't think she could bend over anymore and spring back up. And then they were very well off because she married a man that owned a large Cadillac company in Detroit. And he went the way of the world and divorced her. She was heartbroken. She told her mother, I'm giving up. I'm not coming back to the church. And her mother was going, mm-hmm, okay, God is good. No, did you hear what I said? I'm not, okay. She said her mom just stayed quiet. But in a few weeks, the Lord Jesus got a hold of her and says, I want you to go on. I want you to go on in life. You're going to thrive like the palm tree. You're going to be fruitful. I've got great things, God. I don't have anything left in me to give, but I humble myself to you. In less than a year, her husband had come back, begged her forgiveness. They went on to have four sons. Then they go to the mission field. Remember, he was very wealthy with this Cadillac industry and so forth, and he retired. And he says, Pat, I want to go on the mission field with you. And they established a tremendous mission in Haiti. When Dave and I were leaving New Orleans, they wanted us to take it over, but we didn't feel the calling of the Lord to do that. But she came up with this in the Holy Spirit. It's called Barefoot Ministry and Barefoot Medicine. And you're teaching people that are not skilled, but they can, you know, be skilled in, you know, cuts and bruises and fixing up injured feet and whatever else on the in the islands of Haiti. And there come a time when she said, you know, I think my mission is over here, but I'm going to go back one more time. And so Harry went with her. No, Pete, that's his name, Pete Gruitz. Pete went with her, and they get to the Miami airport. And Pete had had some health situations and so forth. But he said, I'm going to go back with you, Pat. I just love the mission work that we do there. And they had set it up to set up clinics and so forth. It was just going beautifully, but they were going to oversee it. And he gets right to the passport thing, and he takes his passport, and he hands it to the man that was checking the passports. And he goes, Pat, I just say I love you. He drops dead right at the gate. And there she is, devastated again. And this sermon that she gave has just infiltrated every area of my life, because she said, you bounce back regardless. He's in heaven. My Dave is in heaven. he's there talking to Pete and everybody else. I told you on Wednesday night how down I had been. I think a few of you heard it, but I'll just repeat it quickly. And, you know, I was really feeling sorry for myself. Have you ever done that? On Wednesday, about 4 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to church. I'm going to church early. Driving here, and the Lord says, oh, well, let me give you this one. So Dave and Charles Capps are standing outside the throne room with the Lord, and they're getting strategy plans soon because Jesus wanted to speak to them about the end times. I'm like, okay. That made me feel good. I feel good. I feel better. Just little things like that have really helped me out so much, you know. Helped you out too, Rella. When you think of your twin Cece, you've all got loved ones in heaven. You know, you've got babies in heaven. You've got children that have gone on to be with the Lord. But great and wonderful news. We're going to be there soon. But we've still got some life to live. Amen. I want to tell you the end of the story of Pat Gruitz. And this message has impacted me all of these years. And she said, and where are all of my stuff that I had standing right here? Who moved it? All of my scarves and so forth? Huh? Yeah, and I had some other rags here. Here they are. Yeah, bring those over, Diane. So she said, if you will take everything in your life, all right, throw it at the cross, and it's like filthy rags. Now, we've all had some filth in our lives. You may not have lived I didn't live a terrible life, and I've always loved the Lord. But, you know, I haven't been an angel all the time. I've got a temper. Don't anybody say anything. But we all have our issues. But here's the filthy rags of your life, the things that have disappointed you, the unforgiveness. You're like, I'll never forgive them. Well, then you won't be forgiven. I'm going to get back with them. I'm going to get even with them. It's not going to work. You know, I'm brokenhearted. This broken relationship that I've been going through, I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive her. You need to rethink that thought. That's the filthy rags of our life. The emotions of our life. Don't listen to your emotions. Don't go by your emotions in life. You can't. It's too risky. Don't do it. I've already tried that years ago. It didn't work. But our testimony is that even in broken relationships and in families, all of these filthy rags, you can pile them up. And Pat Gruitt said they'll become like decay. They will decay at the foot of the cross. You know, the scripture that we don't like to talk about, all the dung of life. All the rotted mess of lives. Come, Jesus says, and put it at the foot of the cross. And out of that, fertilizer is formed and flowers will grow. Isn't it so amazing? Think about that. You got dirty dirt, and I love to do my gardens every year, and I love to do flowers. I love to divide flowers a lot and bushes, and I give them to other people. I like to multiply and so forth. And you've done the same to me. But here you've got dirt, ugly old dirt, and out comes a beautiful sweet tomato or some grapes or a squash or a bell pepper or wonderful herbs and fragrances. And then the flowers come out of the fertilizer of your life. You will bloom again. You will have fruitfulness like the palm tree has never before. I want you to study the palm tree and all the fruitfulness with it. And compare yourself to that wonderful palm tree. You raise your palms to the Lord Jesus. Our palms are so important in life that we raise them to him. Do you know, has anybody been to Whole Foods? You take the palm of your hand. This is scary. You take the palm of your hand and lay it down. It reads the veins on your hand. And then you can pay like that. Let me see. I've got to find that. I've got to read it to you. The palm recognition system works by linking a user's payment information with their unique palm print. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can also link to it with your Prime account. No need to fumble in the Amazon app looking for your in-store code. At Whole Foods, you just hover your palm over the reader, and once you're ready to pay, the system will find your Prime account, apply the discounts, and charge the credit card that you have enrolled with. Uh-oh. More control. But you know something? I'm over worrying about it. They already know where you live. They're on your phone. Have you ever had your phone do this suddenly on your texting or your email? Oh, were you looking for this pair of shoes? Would you like to? I didn't call anybody. I was just browsing. All of these things are happening, but what have we got to do? We got to focus. But still, scary stuff. With the palm of your hand, you can raise your palm to the wrong person, or you can raise your palm to the right person. That's Jesus Christ. There's so much counterfeit in today's world. You've got to be able to divide it. Watch your eyes. Watch your ear gate. Watch your mouth gate, of course. But you've got to watch what you feed into your brain. The more scripture, the more rain you get from heaven, the more understanding, it's you. You have to take care of yourself, and you've got to throw those filthy rags at the foot of the cross so they can become decay, and they will fertilize whatever's happening into your life, and the fragrance will come forth. And I'm speaking about that fragrance of Jesus Christ. I'm ready for ushers to pass those out. Just real quickly, and we're going to end. I've got these torn pieces of paper, and I wanted them torn. I want you to write down quickly what you're going to put at the foot of the cross. Then you're going to do this. No one, I give you my word, no one is going to read these. We'll either burn them or just put them in the trash tomorrow. But you write down either what you're believing for or what you need to forgive for, what you're depressed about, but you're going to say, don't say, please, God, help me. He's there. You don't have to beg. Say, thank you, Father, for freeing me up, for delivering me, for giving me all of your goodness. I am deserving of it because I'm your child. So I'm just going to take about 2 minutes to do that, and then we're going to come forward and start putting all of this torn up paper at the foot of the cross, and you're going to leave it there. Try your best. We're like 24-hour people. We want to turn around in 24 hours. But try for the next week and then the next month and challenge yourself that you're not going to pick it up again. That particular thing, it could be an emotional thing. It could be a huge thing with family. It could be a huge thing with job. It could just be something very personal in your life. And I want you to begin, when you've got it, just come up here and start crushing that paper up and say, in the name of Jesus, I place it at the foot of the cross. Come on, Rella. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift. Lord, I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Come on, let's stand. You came from heaven to earth. Grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth. Debt to pay, from the earth to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the word of the Lord coming forth. I pray that every heart is bursting with your love, that lives are changed, lives are rearranged by our commission to go forth and to be humble before you and to stand tall like the palm trees. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the nutrition that we receive. And we flourish as the palm tree. We flourish in your courts, but we flourish in this life. And I pray that everyone has received this word and they go forth with joy in Jesus' precious name. You can come and